We've come practically to the end of the year. Just another 2 weeks and we start a new year. And in the business, in corporate world, they do what they call a stock taking, an annual stock taking. And it's good that spiritually we do a stock taking of our lives, how it has gone in this past year. I trust that we could say it has gone well. And by the grace of God, even though there were ups and downs, but looking at the graph, it's gone well. I hope that we could, all of us could say that. And that we could also say, my Jesus has done all things well. So, if we look back over this year, we have probably listened to about 100+ messages. If we come on Wednesdays or if we're listening to messages during the week, definitely about 50 messages, you know, once a week. What result has it had upon your life and mine? That's a question I must ask myself. Have I received light? Have I received understanding? We've heard so much about the purpose of God. Have I understood the whole purpose of God for my life? Have I understood the fullness of the new covenant? We heard powerfully last week about what the new covenant is in those three stages. Has it affected my daily life? Otherwise, this is a meeting center. And I come here to hear messages. It's good to look back and see, take a stock taking. To see whether what I've heard, what God has spoken to me, not just on Sunday mornings or Wednesdays if I come to the Wednesday meeting, but in my personal life, if we have a quiet time, I hope that our quiet time is not just in the morning. That we let God speak to us during the day, let God speak to us in the night. When we stay awake, we can't get sleep. So, all that God has said to me, my brothers and sisters, has it affected our personal lives? Has it affected our work life? Things changed in the work spot, my relationship with my colleagues, my attitude to my boss. It must change if I am hearing profound truths here. And we hear powerful words every week. And if we are walking with God, God speaks to us. So it should change our relationships with one another. That must change. Should be getting better. Our fellowship with each other. And overall, there should be a growth. The graph should be going up. Otherwise, like I said, this is only a meeting center. I come and hear messages. I come to church because that's what I'm supposed to do. Has it affected my home life? Has my home life got better? Has my marriage relationship got better? Then I could say, you know, the graph is going up. It is getting better. Even if it is a little bit. I wanted to look at something that speaks to my own heart in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Actually, Romans 14 and 15, I encourage you to read it sometime, because here we have, in essence, the whole life of the gospel. What our life should be if we have really believed the gospel and if we are really following Jesus. Romans 15, in the NASB, the version we all have before us, it says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Let me read that to you from the Message Bible. It comes really powerfully. You could see it probably on the screen there. Romans 15. I'm reading from the Message now, verse 1. Those of us who are strong and able in faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way the scripture puts it. Even if it was written in scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of a steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us. The perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, that's what it says in the version we have. Keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives, singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. And there we have, in a nutshell, what our life should be like. You read the whole of Romans 15, you would understand what is life under the new covenant. And it says there, right in the very beginning, we who are strong. In this past year, have I become strong? Strong in the right sense. Not in my abilities and what I'm capable of and my gifts and talents, but strong, like Paul told Timothy, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is true strength. And I become strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You look at that word in 2 Timothy. You can turn there. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Paul says there, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, trust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And he says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And he compares what this life is to the soldier and to the athlete and the hardworking farmer. You can read it sometime. And he says, consider what I say, verse 7, and the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And he writes that in the background of chapter 1, you know, he says, you're aware in verse 15 of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And these are brothers who worked with Paul. And he says, the Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Paul was in prison, and everybody forsook him. All, even his co-workers. And one young brother who stood by him. And in the context of that, in the light of that, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You're going to suffer hardship, but don't be afraid. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's a word that we need for the coming days. To be strong in grace, my brothers and sisters. Not in a whole lot of other things that we can be strong in, things that we do for the church. We can do many things for the church. We can sacrifice. And perhaps it's got better. We made bigger sacrifices. But to be strong in grace. And all that I have heard in the church is to help me to be strong in grace. Paul says in to the Ephesian church, in Ephesians chapter 1, he says the end of the commandment, all the instruction that we hear in the church is to help us to have love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So that's the focus, that's the goal. I'm not just listening to a whole lot of messages and getting understanding a whole lot of things and getting fatter, not stronger. And I'm afraid that that's probably what's happened to a lot of us. We're not getting spiritually strong, we're getting spiritually fat, because we have had a lot of good, nourishing, nutritious food here in CFC this past year and in the past years that we have been coming here. And it should be that way, that we become strong, not fat. That's what I have to ask myself as I look back on this past year. Have I become strong in grace, the grace that is in Christ Jesus, or have I become fat, spiritually fat? You know, physically fat is not so dangerous as to be spiritually fat. Because you can do something about physical fat. But spiritual fat most often goes unnoticed. And that's dangerous. And we come to a place where, like Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16 verse 12, he says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And perhaps God has to say to us, CFC Bangalore, I have many more things to say to you. You've heard a lot. You've got a lot of understanding. But you've become fat. You've become dull of hearing now because you've heard so much. You're so familiar with the truths that you've been hearing here. And that's what Paul, the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5, if you look at it, in verse 11 and 12, he says, concerning him, that's concerning Jesus, Hebrews 5, 11 and 12, concerning Jesus, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. That was the condition of the Hebrews. They got so familiar with truths that they heard that they had become dull of hearing. And like Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And many times he had to say to them, do you not yet understand? I didn't speak to you about bread. Do you not have understanding? And that's what happens when we don't get understanding, we don't get light, we don't get revelation. Then what we hear makes us spiritually fat and not spiritually strong. But you and I are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To be strong in grace means I'm strong in humility. Because that's how I can get grace. We have heard that in the church through the years. We've heard it much in this past year. That if I humble myself, I get grace. And the more I go down, I get a greater grace. James says he gives a greater grace. Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. So that's where we should be strong. As we look back on this past year, we've nearly finished 2016. Have I become strong? Strong in grace. Been quick to humble myself. Quick to take the blame. Not justify myself. Then I know that I am making progress. My heart is strengthened by grace. We heard that last week. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 9. It says, do not be carried away by varied and straitened teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. My heart is strengthened by grace. It says, not by foods. And we can put not by meetings. Not by messages. We hear a lot of messages, and we can be listening to them during the week. But my heart is strengthened by grace. Let's remember that, my brothers and sisters. Under the old covenant, it was the kind of foods they ate. It's not eat this, not eat that. And many, many other things, the many rules and regulations that they kept. But our heart is strengthened by grace. Let me understand that. And in this past year, if that's the food I've been eating, grace, that I humble myself, I get grace, I become stronger and stronger. Not just to show off in the church, to be labeled a wholehearted brother or wholehearted sister. I'm sure none of us, I hope we don't want, we want that reputation. He's a wholehearted brother, he's such a humble brother, she's such a humble sister. Are we satisfied with that? I'm not. How does God see me? Does God see me as one who's strong in grace? Paul told Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Those are some of the last words that Paul is writing. Humble yourself. If I humble myself, I get grace. My heart will get strengthened by grace. And when I am strong, Romans chapter 15, verse 1. When I am strong, I will bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please myself. It says each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, for his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. Verse 3, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Even Christ did not please himself. That's a word that has come to me in many situations, many things that we battle, sins of the flesh. Christ did not please himself. He chose not to please himself. And if I have been doing that in 2016, that I choose not to please myself, I choose to follow Jesus, I choose to help others, then I will become strong. Jesus is our example, my brothers and sisters. And if we have been coming here, we belong to CFC and we are committed here, all the more I hope that we see Jesus as an example. Thank God for good examples of brothers and sisters, but Jesus is my example. He did not please himself. That's what it means to take up the cross. Otherwise, I can talk about taking up the cross, denying myself. But what does it mean in practical terms? I do not please myself. I choose to deny myself. Definitely, I will become strong. That's the way it was with Jesus, right from the very beginning, even before he came down to this earth. Though he was God, it says, Philippians chapter 2. He did not regard equality a thing to be held on to, or like the margin says, to be utilized or asserted, his right to be equal with the Father. He need not have given it up. You know that? He need not have given it up. He could have still come down as a man, need not given up his equality with the Father. Enjoyed the same rights and the same privilege, the same power that he enjoyed with the Father from all eternity. But he chose to empty himself. That speaks a lot to me. Because that's the Jesus I'm following, who emptied himself before he came down to this earth. He made himself of no reputation. That was his entry into the world. People think about it at this time, the humble beginnings, but they miss everything. They're caught up with festivity and a whole lot of other things that is meaningless. And that's the way Jesus came. And it says further on in Philippians 2, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even a criminal's death, death on a cross, the worst shame and the worst death that a man could ever have. Not only in that time, in that century, but all throughout. That's the Jesus we follow, my brothers and sisters. When he came to earth, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's why God highly exalted him. That's the way you and I are called to go. That's the way I can get grace and be strong in grace. I can't just automatically go around helping others. That's social work. You rather become an NGO. That's not what I'm talking about. We go around helping others. Then you become a philanthropist in the church. You become a benefactor. But I'm following Jesus of the Bible. I want to become strong in grace. And that has challenged my heart. I said, Lord, I want to be, as I look back on this past year, I can thank God. The opportunities I had, some of them I lost, some of them I utilized to become strong in grace. But the graph has gone up. And I wanted to go up all the way to be strong in grace. There's a long way to go. And the times we have faltered, as we look back on 2016, we faltered and we didn't get grace. And God had to speak to us. And then he spoke to me, that's praying. He speaks to us in our dreams sometimes when he can't get our attention during the day. Pride. That's why you're not getting grace. What do? Justify myself? Say the other person's to blame. It's not my fault. I'll never become strong. I'll become anemic. I'll be malnourished. I'll sit in the church and become fat. I'll not become strong. So Jesus invites us to come to him. I don't have to come under condemnation. I don't say these things to condemn you. And God has spoken to my heart. I don't feel condemned. He calls us. He invites us. In Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. We have heard that many times. The Message Bible puts it very nicely. It says, walk with me and work with me. Matthew 11:28. You know, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That word. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And listen to this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. That's what Jesus does. I don't condemn you, he said to the woman caught in adultery. Go and sin no more. I can get grace. And what I hear in the church and what you hear, God speaks to us. It can pierce us. It can cut through our hearts, our soul. He doesn't condemn us. He says, come to me. Why are you struggling? Why are you striving? Working yourself up? Come to me. Walk with me. Work with me. Not by yourself. And I got a beautiful picture just, I think, when Brother Zach was sharing that the yoke that Jesus gives us. You know, the bullock, the yoke of the bullock. If one side is heavy, you know, the chafes that bullock's neck. And the picture that came to me, that when Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, work with me. It's not a yoke, no, wooden yoke like you see, you know, that is on bullocks on the roads. But somebody in the midst, that one came to me in the wedding. That he comes and puts his arms about the ones who are becoming husband and wife. It's not a wooden yoke that will chafe us. He puts his arms around us. Walk with me, work with me. See how I do it. The unforced rhythms of grace. If you get that picture, my brothers and sisters, then it takes off the heaviness of the Christian life. It's not a wooden yoke he puts on us. It's he there with his arms around us. Come on, walk with me and work with me and learn from me the unforced rhythms of grace. And it goes on to say, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that wonderful? That is the life God has called us to live. That's how I can become strong in grace. It's not me struggling and striving, trying to get grace, trying to show that I'm humble, forcing myself to humble myself, but just to follow Jesus, to see how he did it. And that encourages me tremendously. We heard last week about the new covenant life God has called us to live. The three stages of this new covenant life. I hope you remember it. It's something that spoke to me during the week. To check up where I am. Which standard? First standard? Second standard? Third standard? You remember it last week? What Brother Zach said? Shared in Hebrews chapter 8. The new covenant. We don't have time to look at it. But it says, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. That's the first standard. He forgives us. Not only forgives us, but our sins and iniquities. God blots out. He says, I'll remember them no more. You may choose to remember them, and I hope when you choose to remember them, bring shame. You don't enjoy the pleasure of it. And when others remember it, it doesn't bring you under condemnation, because God has chosen not to remember your sins and my sins and iniquities anymore. So let others remember it and let others say what they like. It should never unfaze me. It should never move me out of love. It should never bring me under condemnation. That's the first standard only. But then we heard we go on to the second standard. All shall know me, from the least to the greatest. You don't have to teach anyone know God. All shall know me, that I can know God as my Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a thing in the mind. Now I know God as a Father. You know, we can hear these things and understand these things in our mind. But it doesn't go down to our heart. We need light. We need understanding. That's how I can get strong. And I can hear these things, but it doesn't make a difference in my life. God has become my Father through the Holy Spirit. I have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but a spirit of adoption by which I can say to God, Daddy. That's what it is, Romans 8. Second standard. I have to move on. The third standard we heard, where God writes His laws upon our minds and puts them within our hearts. That's tremendous, isn't it? Then it takes out the struggle and the striving and the sweat. He writes His laws upon our minds. He gives us a mind. We want to do the will of God, even though we have a flesh that serves the law of sin. But my mind wants to do the will of God. And He puts them within our hearts. Gives us the ability to do it. God is at work in us, both to will and to work His good pleasure. Like some time back I said, we can pray a very honest prayer. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. Isn't that an honest prayer? I don't have to be dishonest. I'm willing when I'm really not willing. But I could pray, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. Because God has put His law in my heart. He's written it in my mind and on my heart. And we go on from there. We can go on to PhD. We don't stop there. Oh, there's a vast course all through our life. This, like we heard last week, is the full new covenant. I'd encourage you to listen to that message of Brother Zach's last week. Not just listen to it and let it get into your head and understand it, but let it go into your heart, my brothers and sisters. It liberated me. I thank God that I am gone on beyond first and second standard. I'm not only in third standard, but going on. I want a PhD. I want to finish the course. I don't want to stagnate anywhere. And that is why, like it says in Hebrews, that we have confidence. Confidence, Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. And what we heard last week is a new and living way, which is there recorded in Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That's where we all begin. And if you're not coming that way, if you're not coming through the door, through Jesus, you're not coming through the washed and cleansed blood of Jesus, you're outside. And you're coming here and hearing a whole lot of things, becoming religious becoming spiritually fat and not strong. In each standard, in the first standard, in the second standard, third standard, we can help others who are weak. You go back to Hebrews, to Romans chapter 15. In each stage, we can help others. Doesn't mean I have to wait till I come to third standard, to PhD level, where God writes His laws in my mind and my heart. It happens. It can be progressively for some, but it can happen. That's the new covenant, all in one. It can happen. That's what it means to be born again. So I don't have to wait progressively for this to happen. But in each stage, I can help whatever level I am. But I want to remind you that I can only help those at my level. Don't try to teach third standard when you're still in the first standard or you're still in the second standard. Water flows to its own level, you know that. So I should not try to teach somebody something that I've not yet experienced. Let me go at my level, my stage. You heard that, I've said that a couple of times about Jacob when he had to meet Esau. He went with all these gifts to appease his brother who was angry with him. But he had so much, and Esau said, come now, my brother, come on, let's go on. And he said, you go on. You go, I'll come because I've got women who are pregnant. I've got cattle who are pregnant. I'll come at their pace. What a beautiful picture. That's a shepherd. To walk at the pace of particularly the one who lives with us 24/7. Not that we live at that level, but we lead. We work with them at that pace. That's how Jesus works with us. He doesn't take us straight away to PhD level. He works with us. And that's how we should be able to work with one another. That's what it says there, going back to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, he says, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength and not just please ourselves. Looking back, have we in this year helped at least one brother, one sister? Have we borne, particularly the ones who are living with us? And are we going on bearing and bearing? We'll see later. That's not wonderful. That's not spiritual. But looking back, have we been able to bear with the weaknesses of others? Have we spoken an encouraging word to the ones closest to us? When was the last time we spoke an encouraging word to our wives, brothers, husbands? When was the last time, sisters, you spoke an encouraging word to your husband? And we have children living with us. When was the last time he spoke an encouraging word to us? Freely we have received, it says, freely give. And freely we have received encouragement. And I hope that we can say that. I have freely received encouragement in this church. I hope it's true. Then you should freely give. Second thing is, moving on there, that what we read in the Message Bible, strength is for service, not status. I like that. Strength is for service, not status. People who exercise, there are the bodybuilders and all, they exercise, they want to show off their bodies. That's all they want. They want to show it off. But if you exercise physically to be able to do a job, especially if that job requires physical strength, then it's worth it. So strength is for service, not status, not to show yourself, like I said earlier, not to be known as a wholehearted brother, a wholehearted sister, a humble brother, a humble sister. And we are happy with that. No, if we are getting strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, it is not for status, not to get a reputation, but to serve others. And that's what we read in Romans 15:1. We bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. And as we become stronger, we go on bearing with one another. But then we come to the place, you read on there, it doesn't stop there. It says each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification, For even Christ did not please himself. And it says there in verse 4, whatever was written in earlier times were written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another. You see, it's not just verse 1. Between verse 1 and verse 7, that we can get perseverance, we can get encouragement, and God comes alongside us to give us perseverance, to give us encouragement, to bring us to that place in verse 7, where I just don't go on bearing, I bear with my wife, you bear with your husband, where we are able to accept one another. Charity begins in the home, and if it doesn't begin there, I'll never accept the brothers and sisters in the church. And looking back on 2016, you've been part of this church. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, are you going on bearing with one another, especially with those you have to do? Or have you come to the place where you accept your brother? I accept my brother. I accept my sister. I'm not trying to change him. I'm not trying to put him into my mold. I accept him. I accept her for who she is. Then that is growth, that is development, that is what it means to become strong. I hope that we are going that way. Otherwise, I want to challenge you this morning. Let 2017 be different. That I'm not going to go on bearing with my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to go on bearing with my wife or my husband or my children. I come to the place, I accept them. Just as Christ has accepted me. And how did Jesus accept you? And how did he accept me? Did he say, go and get cleaned up first and then come back? He said, come. Come as you are. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. I hope that's the gospel we're living. Then we can help others. We can help those who are weak. And that's our calling in the church. You look at Romans chapter 14. I want to read this to you from the Message Bible. I think it's up on the screen. Romans 14 verse 1. It says, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. That's Romans 14:1. And it says there in verse 12, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. We'd like to change that, especially when we don't agree with somebody, and we can't accept the other person who is weak in the faith department, you know, whether it's days or whatever it is. That's the light he has. And we would like to say he will fall, for the Lord is able to make him fall. No, the Holy Spirit says he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. That has humbled me many a time. So then, verse 13, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. That's all we need to do, not to judge one another anymore. We have heard sufficiently about that. And in this past year, like I said, stock taking, how much progress have I made there in learning to stop judging others anymore? And 2 Corinthians 4 tells, wait till the time, don't do it before time, wait till the time the Lord comes when he reveals the motives of men's hearts. Why do I go on judging others? I don't know their motives. I don't know their intentions. Determine this, not to put a stumbling block in a brother's way. And to believe and be humble that God will make him stand. For the Lord is able to make him stand. That's a word that you can take as encouragement. God is able to make you stand, no matter what your quirks are, no matter what your failures, what your faults are. You don't have light on certain things. God is able to make you stand. He will not make you fall, even though we would think that that's the only way he can learn. That's not how God works. And so, summing up what we have here in Romans 15, we know whether we are getting strong if we learn to stop pleasing ourselves. Or at least that we are pleasing ourselves less. If we look back on 2016, that we see that we have been learning to please ourselves less. We want to follow Jesus, who did not please himself at all. And the scriptures, we are told there, is written for our instruction, verse 4, through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, not condemnation. I said in the beginning that when we listen to these things, God doesn't condemn us. He seeks to encourage us. He seeks to make us persevere, not give up, not want to quit. And that's not all. It says the God, and if you have a margin, it says the God of perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. That is how we become united, that we have the same mind. And listen to those words there, verse 6. With one accord, you may with one voice, one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there, like I said, verse 7. We live, and if we are part of this church, we learn to accept each other. That's the place that we must come to, my brothers and sisters, not just bearing, and in our homes, that we accept our partner, accept our children, whom God has given us, and not try to change them. And then we can glorify God, and the end result there is, it's so beautiful there. I encourage you to read it sometimes, that God himself gives us perseverance and encouragement, and we become one. And it says that the God of hope, verse 13, it says in verses 9, you know, because of this, he says, I'll give praise to you among the Gentiles. I'll sing to your name. Rejoice, O Gentiles. Praise the Lord, O you Gentiles. And let all the peoples praise him. And at the end of verse 12, in him shall the Gentiles hope. He's our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's our life. That's the life God has called us to. And it doesn't end there. Verse 14. Concerning you, my brethren, when I get up and open my mouth in the meeting, so when I speak to my brothers and sisters, he says, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another. Then I can encourage others. I can bear with those who are weak. I accept them and I'm filled with goodness. The end result of this, the end result of the gospel, my brothers and sisters, is love from a pure heart. I'm filled with goodness. I'm able to admonish my brothers and sisters. Then and then only are you qualified to admonish others, to encourage others. I want to invite you to come in this way. Paul says there, he says, we urge you, verse 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And one last word in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is in relation to helping the weak. And I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, as we move into another year, that it will be a year that we would make of caring for one another, of helping the weak, strengthening, encouraging others. But I can't do that if I don't begin where I need to begin, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. May God help us. Amen.
Praise God for what we heard. I for myself want to really grow strong in the grace of God, that I want to embrace the humility so that I can grow in grace. When we look back how it is gone, we can see how much of grace we have received, what the grace did in my life. You know, we read in John chapter 1, "For of his fullness we have received, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." And verse 17 it says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth was realized through Jesus Christ." That's what will do grace in my life, where it will accomplish the purpose for which God has called me for. You know, one of the purpose for which God has called us, not just to give us a salvation that we can become holy and that we can please and we can satisfy ourselves and go to heaven, but he also brought us to the body of Christ, where through grace we can love one another, through grace that we can encourage one another. That is the purpose, together with all the saints, to comprehend the depth and breadth and length and height of Christ's love. We can do that, my brothers and sisters, when we receive the grace. I pray that the Lord would give us a desire in our hearts to embrace the true grace of God. You know, when Peter was about to deny Christ, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, I prayed for you." Let's look at that verse in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like a wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again," and this is what the Lord spoke to me, "strengthen your brethren." Strengthen your brothers. And I believe we are called to not to live an individual life. When we turn to the early church, the books of the Acts, when we come where they were all one accord, they were together praising the Lord. That is the glory, my brothers and sisters. We can see the glory of God through the body of Christ, that we work together, that we love together, that we learn to comprehend with all the saints, that we not to please ourselves. You know, Philippians, we read that verse in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. "Have this attitude, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to grasp, but emptied himself, taking the form of bondservant." And it goes on to say that, you know, how the Lord took that, you know, because he was full of grace and full of truth. And when I receive the true grace of God, that's what will do in my life, where I don't look down, where I don't try to esteem myself, where I don't try to be interested in my own things, but I also interested the brethren whom, you know, one thing that so delighted my heart when I read about Jesus. Jesus is our example, my brothers and sisters. He's our author. He's our leader. You know how he was? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. "For it was fitting for him whom for it was fitting for whom are all things, and through whom, bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation." You know, it goes on to say that he sanctified us, and you know, one thing that came to my heart, he was not ashamed to call them a brethren, saying, "I will proclaim thy name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing praise." That's what will happen. That's what in the early church, when they gathered together, they had true grace. They had the Holy Spirit. You know, when Peter stood up, he did not stand alone. He stood with the full of grace and with the 11 apostles. He was not alone, my brothers and sisters. That's what will happen when I grow strong in the true grace of God. I pray that the Lord would give us a desire. One thing that I want to tell young people, that we seek, one thing that when I look back in this year, there are many areas we would have failed. There are many things would have gone wrong. And when we embrace the humility, where we can receive the grace of God, where we can come to the throne of grace with boldness to receive mercy and find grace, thereby I get a longing to receive the Holy Spirit. He can work in my life and change my life. I believe the Lord wants to do in our life when we embrace the true humility like Jesus. He have this attitude which is also in Christ Jesus. He had that. He had so much. He was a father. He had all. He left all the privileges in order to save me, in order to do a work in my life. I pray that the Lord would give us the same attitude, same desire in this as we enter into 2017, that we enter with fullness of grace which the Lord wants to offer to us. And one purpose that in Hebrews we go on to say that, verse 17 it says, therefore he had to be made like his brethren, because, we heard about it where he could sympathize. He has gone through, he could say to the Father, Father, I know what they have, what it is I have gone through. He was not like a one who could come and advise and who could say that, follow, do this, don't do that. But he was tempted in every form. That is the leader. That is the forerunner whom I have, that I could look at him. And then it says in chapter 3 verse 12, take care, brethren, lest there should be any one of you an evil and unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. And then verse 13 it says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today. I pray that the Lord would give us that spirit where we cover to encourage, that the people could come and see that the Lord is in our midst. How they can see, not that we go on pointing out people, their sins and the problems, but that we encourage them to come along, like Jacob, who said to his brother Esau, you can go ahead and I come with my family. And the family is the one, we are all one family, my brothers and sisters. God has put us together. May we walk with grace and to really please the Lord and to please one another. May God help us.